Hello, teachers. Welcome to session 9 in Psalms. We're studying Psalm 38, a portion of it this week, verses 1 through 8, and then 18 to 22. This psalm is known as a psalm that is dealing with someone who is hurting physically. There's a bunch in this particular text talking about physical ailments, physical sickness, difficulty that comes. And specifically, it seems pretty clear that describing David in terms where he's really upset because of his own sinfulness. So we know that there is a physical, potential physical effects of dealing with guilt, sorrow, conviction, chastening of the Lord. And certainly doctors, even in our day, have looked at the physical ailments of bitterness and of a lack of forgiveness, fear, anxiety on the body. All those things come with sin and the effects of sin. I'm not saying that every time someone's sick, it's because they're sinful. Jesus kind of addressed that. But certainly there are physical problems that come from sin. And so this idea of chastening is definitely throughout the whole entire portion of the psalm that we're going to study today. So the objective sentence is this: every believer can know how to respond to God's chastening by observing the three-stage process that the psalmist exemplifies in Psalm 38. The first stage you see here is conviction. He definitely recognizes his own sinfulness here, and that's the first issue. So stage one is conviction. He says in 38 verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure, for thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. That definitely sounds like God chastening, doesn't it? God having arrows and his hand pressing against him. Verse 3, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Wow, does that mean, that means soundness in my flesh is like health, another way of talking about health. I'm physically burdened because of your judgment on me, it says. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. So he's not blaming God in the sense that he thinks that God's doing something unjust to him. Here you see he's asking God to be merciful, and he's saying that he knows that God's chastening him because he's done wrong. You see that right there, verse 3, because of my sin. Verse 4, for my iniquities are gone over mine head. Right before the video, we were looking into that. I was talking to Damon, who's helping produce this today. And he said he kind of took it as, and I think this is interesting, almost like being overwhelmed from the sense of like water going over his head. That's an interesting way to think about it. For sure, there's this overwhelming idea. His iniquities, he's up to the brim with the sin that he has and the effects of it. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. I've definitely felt that way, where it's like, why do I keep doing the same things? And then like when you feel the effects of the guilt of that, and then of course what he's talking about in this context is the physical ailment that comes with that, the problems, arrows in him, hand pressing him sore, no soundness of flesh, and it's kind of that same overwhelming feeling. Verse 4, he says, the second part, as a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. He's like up over his head in sin, and it's just pressing down on him, the effects of it. So does this sound like a guy who's got a lot of conviction? He's definitely feeling conviction. Well, when you feel conviction like that, when you're being chased into the Lord, the next step is anguish. And it's really kind of similar description, but it's actually affecting him. He says, this is kind of, this anguish part is him kind of seeing his own opinion and of his own sin. Verse 5, my wounds stink and are corrupted because of my foolishness. He's, I think one of the signs of repentance is that there's a sorrow for sin. Whenever I witness and share the gospel with people, you need to start with sinfulness, and you help people understand that they've broken God's law. And sometimes, too often there's a, yeah, I'm a sinner. Okay, maybe I'll try this out, rather than a deep sorrow over sin. It's not just something you acknowledge, like, yeah, technically I know I'm a sinner. It's like, no, I think there needs to be a real understanding of your own sinfulness and what Jesus did. Here, that's one of the evidences of seeing as God sees, seeing God's our sin is the way God sees it. Verse 5, he says, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. He's like, he hates the effects of his sin and he hates what's going. Verse 6, I'm troubled. There's that anguish. I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. My loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. That would make some kind of a life verse, wouldn't it? My loins are filled with a loathsome disease. Man, awful, awful way of thinking about it. Verse 8, I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. This definitely sounds like a person who is in anguish over his sin and the consequences of his sin. I definitely think that there is a problem when people are just sad that they got caught or sad that they're dealing with the consequences and not sorrowful over the fact that they sinned and troubled by their own sin. But I don't think those things are mutually exclusive. I think that God is in some ways merciful having us deal with difficulty because of our sin. He's chastening us. The Bible says, who the Lord loves, he chastens. And there's definitely that here. So I think David is dealing with anguish over his sin, and that's connected to the conviction that he has over his sin. He hates his sin, and he hates the effects of it. So we see stage one, conviction, stage two, anguish, and now we see stage three. This is what it should lead to, confession. If you get into verse 18 to 22, he says, "For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin." And what a great response. There needs to be sorrow for sin that leads to confession. And he says, I'm going to call my sin what God calls it. I'm going to declare it. Verse 19, but my enemies are lively and they are strong. They that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Here you have this mixture of, yeah, I've been punished and I'm dealing with my own sin and the difficulty there, but I'm also dealing with people that hate God who don't see sin the way God sees it and who call good evil and evil good. And I'm dealing with them too. And so I want to get agreement with God about my sin, and I also want to do right, and I need God's help to help me do right, to forgive me of my sin, to be my salvation, and also to protect me from people who are evildoers, who are enemies. Of course, David was a king, and he's dealing with those kinds of issues. There is, at times, suffering for righteousness' sake. So I think he's dealing with that too. The point is, whenever he understands that his sin is wrong, he has a conviction, and there's anguish over that conviction, the truth of the matter is confession is the necessary right step. And the good news in the New Testament is that we know that confession, if genuine, leads to forgiveness. If we confess our sins, the Bible says, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this particular psalm and this particular topic is what I like to call an evergreen topic. There's probably never a time where it's not a good idea. There's never a time where it's not a good idea to ask the question, is there some sin in my life that I need to feel conviction over? Is there some sin in my life that I need to confess? Is there some sin in my life that I need to stop being okay with, and that I need to feel anguish about, and that I need to notice the problems in my life that this sin is causing, and then confess those things to God, knowing that he is my only shot at getting forgiveness and being done with those things. Of course, this is a lesson that is relevant to both the lost person that has never had the ultimate forgiveness of sins and who needs to understand that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. The Lord really is our salvation. And so I think that's important. For the believer, we don't confess our sins so that we'll be saved. We confess our sins so that we can be right with God. And like a child who's striving to obey the Father and they have a right relationship with Him, we confess our sins so that we can stay in fellowship with our Heavenly Father and have that unhindered fellowship so that we can pray and we can be effective in ministry. We can be effective in our lives doing what God's called us to do. So David provides some really great thoughts here, helping us to understand our need for conviction, noticing that anguish in our life and dealing with that anguish and going to God in confession and getting right with Him. I hope this helps your lesson. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do, teacher. Pray, even as you're watching this video, if you've gotten this part of the video, take this encouragement to pray that Sunday you would be open and focused on the students, the members of your class, the people that come to your class, and that they need to hear this, that you have done in your own heart what you're going to ask them to apply to their own lives, and that you're looking for people who don't know Christ to come to Christ, and for people who are far from God, maybe who are believers, to confess and get right and to enjoy that fellowship with the Lord again. I hope that helped you, and I pray that God will use you even this Sunday. Have a good day.